Hey guys, welcome to the second episode of our Off the Mats podcast. Today I'm joined by Jackson Souza from Checkmate Hammersmith. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm very happy. Last night I was studying a few things that is gonna complement to my future. It's always to start late, go to bed late sometime, but being productive, not just watching Netflix and doing nothing. But yeah, I'm pretty good. I slept very well. I have a great coffee. Now I'm here to speak to you, my brother.
I mean, it's lockdown, gotta be productive. Gotta learn something
Yes.
new every day. So I guess
Every day I try to say.
the big question I want to ask you is, how did you get into jiu-jitsu? What inspired you to start?
Man, what inspired me to start jiu-jitsu? Of course, I always have to say that Tererê, Fernando Tererê, was the big mural for all the kids in Cantagalo, and he was the guy who was supporting all the project together with my master Ricardo Vieira as well, when they was together, working together in Amigos do Morro. That's the name of the project. But after that, they split, and then Tererê create TT Jiu-Jitsu, and Ricardo Vieira create the VB Team Cantagalo. So, of course, as a child, I didn't know what about like team stuff like that. But I was part of Tererê project. It was back in the days called TT Jiu-Jitsu. Man, I grew up in Cantagalo, favela in Rio de Janeiro. I had a tough time growing up in because my family was very poor, and there was a lot of drug trafficking and violence in my community as well. And Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu just gave me the hope, as a child, and late this turn in my like a lifestyle, and was a way to, not a way, but was a strategy to escape from the drug traffic and violence in my community. And then I became like a very successful athlete, and today I'm recognized around the world, and thank God, nothing happened bad with me back in the day when I was in my community. But now I'm here. But I get into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu back in 2000, 2021. I started training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu after a friend from the school in Cantagalo invited me to come to the to the, to come along, to try. And it was a way of life and strategy to keep me away from the temptation to win the easy money, from the drug trade and in my favela. But in the eyes from Tererê, Ricardo Vieira, Alain Fifou, this could not go wrong because I was surrounded by champions. I was surrounded by people who has the same vision, the same mindset, the way I have. And that's why, I became a very successful athlete. And today, improving myself to become a good coach. I think that was my experience when I started training jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, I mean, Terry is a legend. He's known by everyone in the community. So, like, was he a big
Yes,
inspiration to
he's a
you?
legend, man. For me, still a big inspiration. I still use his technique. I still, oh, everywhere I go, I still mention him as a mural, as a master, as a example, for our community, an example for all the generation, especially if you come from the favela. If you don't know Tererê, I think you had to go back a little bit and study jiu-jitsu to make sure the legends, not only Tererê, but also many guys like Jacaré, you know, Fabio Gurgel, Leo Vieira, Ricardo Vieira, you know, all those guys who was there fighting, you know, for us to be able to get these benefits today, you know. That's why I appreciate every little things, every seminar I go, I appreciate all the people that come along to my seminar or training or camp, you know. I appreciate because I know this is the benefit that the legends, like back in the day, they plant, and now we are just like collecting. And of course, we had to plant as well for our next generation to be able to get this benefit as well. So that's my point of view and my mindset. You know, that's it.
Yeah. So, what was it like growing up in the favelas and having to just grow up through that, training jiu-jitsu and just staying on the right path?
Yeah, you had to stay in the right path, because every little step that you do outside, you know, the bubble, you know, this can turn in a life, it can turn in a hard life, you know. Always what about if the police is gonna come to the favela, if the other like organization is gonna come inside the favela to try to take over, or you're gonna be in prison, or you're gonna be dead, or you're gonna be disabled, you know. So anything can happen. If you go to the easy way, like go to get the easy money, you have to do something else. Or you're gonna go rob, or you're gonna go traffic trading inside the favela to make money, or maybe to make sure you have a food in your table. But thank God, I was a little boy when I started work. I was like 8 years old when I started work, you know, to help my family, to help my mom, because my mom, she became like a father and mother when I was 8 years old, and she raised 7 kids alone, you know. And when I was 8, I was already outside on the street selling sweets, you know, selling sacolé. That's like a mini like ice cream that you put inside the plastic, and then you can eat, you know. And I think I was always like motivated to change my life, to change my lifestyle, to give a better life for my family. And that was that jiu-jitsu changed completely my mindset. But my idea about jiu-jitsu was just like a strategy. Like I said, it was a strategy to avoid this easy money, you know. And then I worked as a Polish man. I was work with cars as well. I also work in public minister. How do you say public minister?
Yeah, public ministry.
Government, yeah. Exactly. But I was just like a office boy. Is like you just like collect the documents and bring it to your boss, or bring it to the person that you've been working for. You don't have any. I was just like a delivery, like delivery documents, and go pick up documents, bring inside the office. I worked like this for 3 years, and then when I turned 19. They cut because they start from 16 to 19. And then after that, I would just like focus in jiu-jitsu. And then I started competing, I started traveling. But when I started to like make my name was when I was a brown belt. When I was a brown belt, I decided that jiu-jitsu is gonna be like my job, you know? That's what I do for my life. That's what I try to do to make my dreams come true, to support my family, and to give like a comfortable house for my mom, you know. That was my mindset. But even that, like back in the day, I was doing a lot of things like on the street selling sweet, asking money for people on the street, collect like food from the supermarket when people start to throw all the rubbish outside in the truck. You go there, collect some food as well. I was doing a lot of things, but thank God I was always like away from my community, because when I say community favela, you like inside the bubble, you know, because once you're inside the bubble, you only have the same thing all the time, the same thing. And this became like addictive. And then eventually you're going to be involved in one day, you know.
Was if
you
there don't anyone have like who a... tried to drag you into the bad side of things?
Oh, yeah. Yes, many people asking me for to do this, to do that. Oh, can you take this from my friend over there? You know, many ways to manipulate your brain for you to be able to get inside the system. But I was very strong. You know, my mind was very strong because I knew since my dad passed away, I knew this could not be like my life. I told myself, I never want this for my life. Even though I was like together, I was like close to them. But I said to myself, I never want this for my life, because my life is totally different from this. Because my father, he was part of the system. But unfortunately, he died, you know, from the company he was working, unfortunately. But When I saw that, I tell myself, this is not for me, you know. I wanna be happy. I wanna train. I wanna work. I wanna make money. I wanna buy a house for my mom. I wanna help my brother, my sisters, you know, and just be like humble, you know. I don't wanna be rich, but I wanna be comfortable in a life that I can afford a good lifestyle to my family in the future. So that was my mindset back in the day.
Yeah, and jiu-jitsu in the favela especially, it was an escape for people to get away from that lifestyle and to try and make a good life for
exactly.
themselves.
Exactly, but not only jiu-jitsu. We have a lot of projects inside the favela, but unfortunately, we don't have a lot of support for the government, you know what I mean? So that's make a little bit hard. And then some kids, they don't have the patience to wait until the times come. You know, some people, some kids, some like young people, they don't have the patience, and then they go do other stuff, you know, or get involved in the system or start to work in supermarket or other stuff to help the farm, because they have to help the farm inside the favela. Because If the only parent working at home, you like almost like adult, but you don't do anything, your parent gonna start to talk to you. Hey, you had to work. We had to bring money home. We had to, you know, do something to put food on the table. So that's the thing. That's the thing, because when the parents start to, you know, say something like this, you start to become a little bit angry, because your parents start to tell the truth that you have to start to work, because jiu-jitsu is not going to give you what you need right now. And sometimes some kids, some young people, they just go crazy and go to the system. I'm not saying everybody, but it's happened. Exactly. You know, so, but I have a lot of patience. I knew that one day I would be like recognized. I would be a champion from my community. I would be traveling the world like Tererê, Alan, and Ricardo, Leozinho, because I always saw the process. You know, I was waiting my time. I was training. I was grading. I was competing in Brazil. I was traveling in Brazil. You know. You have to do this because that doesn't work like that. If you want to reach the number 10, you know, we had to start from the 1, 2, 3, and then carry on. Okay, that's the step. You can't start from the 1 to 10. doesn't work like that. The same system in Brazil Jiu-Jitsu. If you're young, you had to start white belt. And then if you're a kid, of course, and then yellow, orange, green, and blue. But if you're adult, of course, it's a different system, but it's counting the same way. White, blue. Why? Because you can't hold the yellow belt. You can't hold the orange belt. You can't hold the green belt. You have to go straight to the purple belt. To the blue belt. You know what I mean? So, by some people, they don't understand the process, the small step. You know, the appreciation of the little work that you guys are planting every day on the mat. You know, with your teammate, with your master. You know, whatever is gonna be surround of you, you gotta appreciate. You know, the moment, because this is gonna prepare you to the future. For you be able to tell this to the next generation, for they start to be patient, you know, if they want to achieve something big in the future. So for me, it was like that. I always have a patient. I never try to get to bring my dream or to achieve my dreams quickly. I was just step by step, because I have a good people also telling me, Ajax, take it easy, it's gonna happen. Take it easy, it's gonna happen. Hey, do this, hey, do that. Oh, go to this competition, go back. You know, I was like, I have like a lot of people was like telling me, you know, the right things. You know, if I was inside it's a long journey, but if I was inside my favela, this could be different. Imagine now, I'm training every day in my gym in Copacabana on the street, training with like a lawyer, police, dentists, doctors, you know, with a different like mindset of mine, with a different like education, different background. And then you have a conversation that you never had before inside your favela, right? So this is kept to change my mind. You know, I changed my mind because this was good for me. I was surrounded by people who has like a high level of life, a high level like in terms of education, money. They was like here. I was here. And then I decided myself to stay in Copacabana, training with my master Ricardo Vieira every day and stay in the gym. I didn't want to go back to my favela to hang out with my friend or to go to the Bali Funk or to go to, you know, do something else or to go smoke something, you know what I mean? Because I know this can turn in a different way, because they're going to talk about sex, girls, Bali Funk, drugs, you know. I don't want that. I want to hear something productive that's going to change my mindset to be able to deliver, you know, to the next generation in the future, to change people's life in the future. So that was my, you know, my mindset when I started to work with my master Ricardo Vieira in Fatson. And I appreciate that my master gave me this opportunity, you know, because he changed my life completely for that. You know, he changed my life completely. So, and then I started training. I started to train more regularly. I started to compete more regularly. And then I start to, you know, gain more confidence. I start to compete international and start to win big competition in Brazil. And then I start to build my name. And then now I'm here, you know, London.
Yeah. What was your first time competing like? If you remember.
So my first time competing, man, I cry. I cry a lot because I didn't want to lose. I didn't want to, you know, to embarrass my mom. My mama was the person who supported me so much. Win or lose, my mama was always there for me. No matter what happened, she was there, you know. Also, my brothers, sisters, my master, my teammate, they was there because they knew one day I would be the champion one day, you know. And my first competition, I lost. I remember I lost in the first round, and I started crying. Then my mama came, talked to me, don't worry. you're gonna get again, you're gonna train again, you're gonna win the next competition. Just don't give up on your dream, just keep training and let's go for the next. And then, you know, I went to the next competition, I got bronze, you know, and then I got bronze in the Copa do Brasil 2003. I got bronze. And then after that, I started competing more regularly and then start to win. I start to lose. I start to win bronze, gold, silver, you know, and then my journey started. But my first competition, I lost. I cried. But I have a lot of support from my teammate, family as well.
What would your advice be to people competing for the first time?
My advice to the people that want to compete for the first time is not to scare to lose, you know, because you, like, yeah, we don't lose in jiu-jitsu. We always learn it. This is like a therapy. This is therapy for me as well. You know, because when you go to the competition, you know, you challenge yourself. You take all the thing that you hold inside, you just throw out, you know. And my advice is just try. But of course, you have to have a good preparation for that. Especially if you're a beginner white belt, you want to make sure you have like a good coach that help you to program your game plan for you to be able to apply in a competition, for you don't get hurt or for you don't do anything that's illegal in a competition, you know. Just make sure you always speak to your master, you know, ask question, ask the fundamental base for you to be able to apply in the competition. Because for white belt, there's not a lot of like techniques. For me, it's more about the basic. You have to know the basic. The basic is the key for you to be able to apply in the competition. Just like that. We don't lose in the competition championship. You have to always ask your question for your bastard to prepare your mind, to prepare your brain to the first fight. And you have to make sure you are 100%, you know, ready, you know, to step on a mat to compete. I know it's gonna be a little bit nervous inside your belly, your body, but once the fight start, this is gonna go away eventually. So just take your time, breathe a lot of meditation, and go. That's it.
It's good advice. Yeah, I think a lot of people do overthink when they're stepping on the mats for the first time to fight, and there's just a lot of stress and worry going through people's minds.
Yes, exactly.
What was your first big international tournament?
My big international championship was the Europeans. The European was I would like to tell you guys a story. So my first competition in Lisbon, European Championship, was in 2011. You know, 2011 was the first time that I managed to get out of Brazil to compete in a European in Lisbon. But before that, you know, I didn't have the money, I didn't have the passport yet. And my master started to create like a campaign to raise money to send me to the European Championship. And we got a lot of money, you know, I managed to apply for my passport. I managed to apply for my passport, and then they managed to buy my ticket and also a hotel to stay in Portugal for 1 week. So because the expectation was very high on top of me, because everyone was seeing me became European champion category and open class, right? They were seeing me became a champion in 2011 as a brown belt. But unfortunately, you know, I traveled. It was amazing traveling. It was the first time that I went inside of the plane to make like a international traveling. You know, was very like nice for me to get to know another country, the history behind Portugal, Lisbon, you know, the people, the food, you know, the environment of the championship, the people that was there that I never saw before was coming to me to take a picture, to speak to me, but I didn't have a good English back in the day. But I managed to, you know, be nice to everyone, take a picture, try to talk, try to ask my friends to translate, to start to speak, and then start to make my connection, you know. After that, you know, I was like, I was a little bit like, not overwhelmed, but I was very like happy, you know, very happy.
Yeah.
Because this was the first time that I was in a championship, international championship. And this making me feel that I already won the championship. No matter what's going to happen in a fight on the next day, I'm happy because I'm here. I'm making friends. I'm seeing people that I was talking on Facebook, Orkut, you know. Now I'm here talking face to face, taking picture, you know, having a good time. And then once the day of the fight came, you know, I was very good. I was normal, no pressure, nothing, but I fought, but I lost in my first round, you know. Was very sad for my master, because I think the expectation was very high, like I said in the beginning, but unfortunately it wasn't the way that they was waiting. So I lost and I couldn't manage to go to the open class, because to go for the open class, once you are brown belt, you had to go to the semifinal. You have to get bronze medal or silver medal or gold. We'll be able to sign up to the open class. And then I fought the open class. And then I just like stay in the championship, having acai, talking to people, take a picture. I went out, you know, check it out, like the Lisbon, sightseeing around the city. And then I came back to the championship again. You know, I watched a lot of good fights, you know. A lot of my teammate was there fighting as well. FIFO, I think this FIFO was there as well. You know, many things, man. Many, many things. And then on the next year, I came back, right? With a different mindset, different like back mindset, different like strategy, and I beat everybody. I beat everybody. I came with a different mindset, and I beat everybody. I won my division, and I lost in a final of the open class against a guy from England, Luke Costello. I lost to him by footlock. I was winning the fight by 4 points, but he managed to get me in a footlock, and I lost. You know,
footlocks are really annoying. So,
yeah, very annoying. But I was very happy because on 2012 I came back, and I managed to win, and I became like
first big win.
That was my first big win. Yeah, international European 2012. And then after that, sorry?
Was that when you knew that, like, this was what you wanted to do?
Yes. Or? Yeah. As a brown belt, my decision was already clear what I want for my life, you know? So be a champ, of course, be a world champ as well. Have of course, I always have this dream in my mind, you know, when I managed to buy a house for my mama in Brazil, which I did. I bought a house for my mom in Brazil back 2016, you know, and then my dream now is to create my my community, to create my own academy and make champions, you know. Of course, it's a process. Of course, it's a process. Everything's a process, takes time, you know, to build like a good community, people who understand your mindset, who understand your vision, for you to be able to then follow you. But I know it's going to take time, but I'm not in a rush, you know. I'm not in a rush. Like I always say to my friends who always ask me, oh, you should go, you should open your gym, you should do this, you should do that for you. But I like to go on my pace. You know, I like to think, I had to see option. I like to take advice from people who run a business, who have like their own academy, you know, to get some information, to get like, just to extend some information. But I know the time is coming, you know. I mean, just like building, training, teaching a few class in my academy, you know. Also have a few affiliation around Europe that's helped me to improve myself as a coach and as a person as well, to be able to, you know, to share my jiu-jitsu and my background with them. I appreciate this little like thing, you know. I appreciate this because this helped me so much to be able to teach people and change people's mind and concept about jiu-jitsu. And but the time is coming, just a matter of time, you know, it's coming, and I'm looking forward to the future.
Yeah. So what was your first time in London like?
So my first time in London was 2012, when I came for the first time after the European, after I won the European 2012. And then I got an invitation from a friend of mine who runs a jiu-jitsu gym here as well. He brought me to London, London Fight Factory,
yeah,
from Luis Manchinha. Back in the day, Marco Canha, he used to teach there as well. And I came, he was there teaching with Manchinha as well. And then I started to, you know, see, you know, how things work inside the gym, you know. This was like a preparation, you know, for my future, you know. But I was there only for training. I didn't teach any class, but I was there only for training and to improve my English, you know. And I spent 1 month in London first. And then after that, you know, I came back to Brazil, but I was feeling very like sad because I really like the London culture, the city, the people,
the vibe,
because man, London has a lot to offer in terms of education, you know, is a multicultural. You know, a lot of things to do, like, I would say, because now I like to go to the museum, learning things and learning the history of every country in Europe, not only London, like England, but Europe, you know, it's really nice that in the UK, we still have this, you know, royal family, the monarchy, you know, I think it's very nice. And I felt like in love with the city, big city, you know. You can walk everywhere, you can see people dressing, fashion, you know. I like to see people dress, you know, fashion, beautiful, you know, walk in the street, you know. I mean, wow, this is nice city, man. Because in Brazil, where I grew up in Copacabana, you don't see that. You just gonna see like the guy without the shirt walking to the beat, no flip flop on his shirt, go straight to the beach, or the neighbor who is going to the supermarket, buy stuff, go back to the apartment, eat in the apartment, and then go to the beach. It was like a tropical lifestyle, you know what I mean? By London was like, wow, man.
Completely different.
Yeah, totally different. But I like that because, you know, I was doing a lot of things. I was taking the bus, you know, going all the way to place that I've never been before, and then come back, you know, just to see the city, you know, and I fall in love.
And is that when you was like, this is where I want to move to?
And then I fall in love with the city, but on the same year, I met my wife, you know, I met my wife in Brazil, because I was teaching a Norwegian guy that was in Brazil doing a internship or university in Brazil. And he was my private student, and I was teaching him jiu-jitsu. And when he started to, you know, he's finishing his study in Brazil, his graduation, and then he made like a final, a good, like a goodbye party, you know, just to say goodbye to the friends. And then he invited me to this party. You know, I went to this party as well. I was the only guy who was there who don't have like anything about like university or, you know, think or subject that the guy was there talking about. I was there just like drinking, dancing, talking a little bit, but my English was very bad back in the day. And then I met my wife because she just arrived like late in the party, but she was invited to this party, but she came because one of his friend, her friends, was invited to this party, and her friend bring a lot of people to this party. And then my student has a Brazilian girlfriend, right? And then Brazilian girlfriend saw that was a lot of people in the house that she never saw before, you know? And then they stopped the music. And then on this time that people was just dancing, I was away talk to my future wife, you know, talking a little bit. She came to me. She speak English in the first time, but I said, oh, sorry, I don't speak English. Can you speak Portuguese? For yeah, I speak Portuguese. And then we start to speak in Portuguese. And then we talk about like a few things about like project, favela. And then we decide to just exchange number because my friends always said to everybody that everyone had to leave their apartment because he wanted to stay with his girlfriend because was a lot of people there he don't know. And then he asked the people to leave the party. And then the party just finished right there. When he heard this, she asked for my number, you know? And then she asked for my number, and then she texted me, and then we keep texting. And then we met on the next day for a coffee, and then I took her to my community, Cantagalo, to make like a little tour inside the favela to show her, you know, the reality. You know, she really liked it, the tour with her her friends as well. They come together. They really like it, you know. And then I took them in the five or six part of my community. I show everything. And then we went down. We have a little drink, and then they left. And after that, we keep like texting to each other, you know? And then the vibe was start to increase, and then we come together. But I didn't know that she was in Brazil, just doing a internship study, but I didn't know also that she was from Germany, but basing in London. I didn't know that. I just know when we start to talk more, and then I say, "Wow, you're from London, blah." And then, man, I start to, you know, to be more, wow, talking a little bit, talking more nicely.
The rest is history.
Yeah, and then we come together. We stay in Brazil for a few months together, you know, hang out, doing a few things, visiting part of my family, you know, in different favelas, like Complexo da Penha, Complexo do Alemão as well. And a favela da Nova Holanda is called the New Holland. It's the name of a favela in Brazil. And then she had to go back home, you know, after all the work she done in Brazil, but I didn't have the money to afford like a ticket to go to Europe as well. And then she came to Europe, and then we stayed together for a few months, like chatting on by email. But unfortunately, this was just like for a few months, and then we decided to split. And then I came to the European Championship again, and then I asked her to come to the European, right? And then she came to the European. And then after the European 2013, she came to visit me, to watch me fight, because she been watching me fight in Brazil, São Paulo, in some place in Brazil. She liked the sport. And then she came to the European to watch me, and then we stayed together, and then we come together again. And then after the European, I went straight to Germany to meet her parents. And then I met her parents, and then stayed there for a few weeks. And then we come, and then we went to London. And then after that, I say, okay, I'm gonna have a London as a base, because I don't wanna lose her, because I love her. I wanna stay with her. And when I only have a London as a base, you know, go out and come back, go out and come back. It was in 2013 when I won my world title as a brown belt. I was training in London. I didn't have the visa yet. Right? I didn't have the visa yet. But if I talk about the visa, I had to go back a few years ago when I started to apply for my visa. My America visa was denied for five times. And in 2013, I eventually got for only 1 week to go there, compete, and come back.
And was that only for the Worlds?
Only for the Worlds. And then I went there, compete, come back. But it was good that because I won. I went there, I won.
Your first time, and you won.
First time as a brown belt. And then I got bronze on the open class. And then I came back to London. No, I went to Brazil first. And then I came to London. And then I stayed in London for a few months, doing a few seminars around Europe, you know. Come back to London again, because London was like a house, second house for me, second home for me, you know. And then that was the history, you know, how I came to London, you know, was like that.
Where was you training in London at this time? At Fight Zone or at Fight
Now Factory? This time I was training at London Fight Factory. With Luis Machinha, and then Marco left because he built another club. It was not today's Fight Zone, and then I started teaching in London Fight Factory, and then I started to work over there, teaching people, you know, learning, helping Machinha with the student as well, and yeah, and then I stayed there for a few years, like maybe three years, and then I moved to Fight Zone, and I started working with Marco Cunha as well, teaching there. Now, 2019, I started teaching in Hammersmith.
And that's when you opened your own gym.
Yeah, no, not a gym, but I would say a gym, club. Yeah, a club, yeah, just a club, just a like a humble mat, small place, just to, you know, bring my student together to learning the pure jiu-jitsu, you know.
Yeah, the vibe is excellent. I went there to film and take some pictures just before the lockdown. I had a great experience there.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it, man. I'm glad you like it.
So outside of jiu-jitsu, do you have any other hobbies? Anything else you do in your free time?
Man, yes. In my free time, I like to ride my longboard, especially in the summertime here in London. You know, I like to take my longboard, go around the city, or go to the I forgot the place where people start to ride their skateboard in. I forgot the name now. The place next to the, I forgot now, but so I like South to ride Bank? South Bank, exactly. Yeah. South Bank.
It's a really popular skate park.
Yeah, I like to go there, see the people ride their longboard, make the trick with the skate. And I don't do any trick. I like to just like
cruising.
Just cruising side to side, just like smoothing, you know, flowing, you know. I like that. In my free time, also I like to study, you know. I like to read books. I like to visit museums as well to learn more. And I like to hang out with my friends, you know. I like to train so much as well. But I'm kind of like start to create a new project, you know, for like to entertain myself as well and to entertain the people that want to hear from me as well. I'm planning to create like a program on a podcast as well, and also on my YouTube channel as well. I start to promote already my YouTube a lot. The idea is to create a documentary about the new startup coming. You know, people who start to training, start to, you know, and win like a big competition. And I would like to go a little bit deep to talk about their background, their lifestyle.
Any specific names that you want to give a shout out to?
I have a few names in my mind, you know. Of course, especially from Fight Zone, there's a few guys that I would like to make this documentary with Junior. You know, I think the Junior is one for my list. You know, it'd be nice to speak to him, to get to know a little bit deeply in his background, his family, and also about his mindset inside Jiu-Jitsu, inside the competition as well. Just like a mini documentary to people to start to see him as a mural, you know, just to inspire more people, because I think this can be a good like platform to inspire more people and try to bring more people into Jiu-Jitsu. Because I remember having my first documentary by BJJ Hex. This was a very good one. And I still seen people like telling me, oh, this was amazing. Oh, you inspire me. Oh, this can be...
I remember watching that one when I first heard about Jiu-Jitsu, and I was looking at videos before going to my first session. I just watched that and I was like, this is inspirational. Exactly. I want to do this.
Yeah, I want to make the same. But of course, to do this kind of project by yourself is going to be complicated, you know. That's the same thing if you want to build a jiu-jitsu club by yourself. You can do by yourself, but
it's going to be hard.
It's going to be really hard
behind you.
Exactly. The teamwork is very, very important to make this work, because I have the idea, you know, but at the same time, I don't know how to use the camera. I don't know how to editing. I don't know how to, I mean, in terms of promotion, marketing, I know, but for editing and make picture or video, I don't know that. I had to always have someone, a guy to knows how to do the, you know, the setup, the camera, the picture, you know, to help me to build this. But I'm looking for people. I'm still like talk to a few people as well, you know, and try to get more information, more ideas, because I think this is going to be really good to entertain the BJJ community inside Europe and in the UK
and the
as
UK
well.
Especially because
Yeah,
I think
especially.
there's a lack of content apart from Grapple Club and
Yeah.
a few other big names. There's not that much content.
Exactly. But also, I don't want to only do for jiu-jitsu. I want to do one so for people who runs a business like Marco Cunha, Luis Manchinha, Roger's father as well. I think it would be nice to speak a little, to speak to Mauricio Gomes. Maybe I think because Mauricio Gomes is a legend, was the first like pioneer to brought jiu-jitsu to the UK. So it would be nice to hear his mindset, his history behind this, you know, behind the, how to say, yeah, it would be nice to hear the, how he brought the jiu-jitsu, how was it? This was hard, it was easy, who helps you, you know, kind of like a question that keep sticking in my mind that I would like to ask him to speak, you know, it'd be nice.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to wrap the interview up now because I have a meeting in about 30 minutes.
Yes. But
it was really nice talking to you. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to just come on and tell us a bit about your story.
Oh, was a pleasure for me, and I really hope this can reach a lot of people. You know, can reach a lot of people that wants to hear a little bit about my background, you know, history and what I achieved in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So not Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Jiu-Jitsu, because I don't wanna, you know, make any problem here to ask people to just say Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or on Jiu-Jitsu. Let's just stick to Jiu-Jitsu, you know?
Yeah, I don't not wanna, like Keenan doing American Jiu-Jitsu now.
Yeah, but you know, but this is only for marketing. I know that this is only for marketing. And I you know, in a good way, I support him because this can turn in a good market to attract more America to jiu-jitsu, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
so I support,
big place for jiu-jitsu, I think.
But the Brazilian guys, they cannot get mad with this because this is a marketing just to grow more our community, you know? If you doing that because Kina is a smart guy, he's very clever, you know how to do marketing, you know how to talk to people. So it's good. I support, but I just don't want to people start to fighting in a social media. Oh, we are Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, now America Jiu-Jitsu, blah blah
it's just
blah
jiu-jitsu
blah blah blah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, just one flag, jiu-jitsu.
We're
you
all
know?
Doing the same sport, we're
you know?
All doing the same journey.
That's why I also took down the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu from my Instagram. Check my time. It was like a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Was like a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Academy. I just put now Jiu-Jitsu Academy. Only this, you know, Jiu-Jitsu Academy. I don't want to put Brazilian because otherwise people are going to see, ah, this for only Brazilian. If people don't know Jiu-Jitsu, they're going to say, ah, this is only for Brazilian. Don't go there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So jiu-jitsu is like it's for everyone, no, for everyone. But anyway, my brother, thank you so much for your time. Thanks so much for the interview. Like I said, I hope you're going to reach a lot of people with this podcast and interview. And I'm look forward to the next episode in case you want to talk about other stuff, other subject. And I wish you all the best. I just want to shout out to my sponsor, Shoro, who always support me, AVCA, Pat, Austin, thank you so much for all the support. And thank you, my team, Checkmate, Hammersmith, you know, and everybody. Thank you so much.